Let me first start with something funny. Having served 3 years as a parish pastor in Nebraska, I do have a few Nebraska jokes. This is one of them. It takes place during a time of American history when General Custard was fighting the Indians. He had scouts out looking for the Indians all over, scattered about. He didn't want to be caught unprepared. One day, one of his scouts comes running up to him and says, "General Custard, General Custard." He's all out of breath. He says, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you." General Custer looks at the scout and says, "Son, we're men around here. Give me the bad news first." The scout takes a deep breath and says, "Sir, we found the Indians. There are 50,000 of them, all dressed in war paint. They're coming this way. We won't have time to put up the defenses. We're going to be wiped out." General Custer stands there and takes it and says, "Okay, son, what's the good news?" The scout says, "The good news, sir, is we won't have to travel back through Nebraska." So why start with a joke? Most people like starting with something funny, like having that little bit of that nice little smooth talk, so to speak. Actually, there's a television preacher that I like to watch over the internet who always starts with a good joke, and so I sometimes get some of my jokes from him. Unfortunately, it seems like the rest of his message is still a joke. Even though he tries to proclaim what the Bible says, I find very little of a message about Christ and him crucified. When he would be asked about something like this, you know, "Why don't you want to talk about the forgiveness of sins?" He would answer, "Well, people want to hear something positive. They don't want to hear something negative. They want something to uplift them, to make them feel good about themselves." And so bottom line, he would preach a sort of a theology of prosperity, that something good is going to happen to you, that God will bless you. And so it begs the question, if the doctor knew that you were dying of cancer, would you want to know? Would you have an expectation from the medical community to communicate that information to you? Or would you rather be lulled into a false sense of security until it's too late? Well, today's text, and yes, my joke will kind of be based off today's text, from our Old Testament reading. I don't know if you caught those interesting words. What people of God would actually say to the seer or to the prophets? "Don't see, don't prophesy. Instead, tell us smooth things. If you're going to prophesy, prophesy falsehoods, prophesy illusions." They even go on to say, "Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Can you believe these words? Unfortunately, in today's world, the answer is yes, I can believe these words. I see, yes, television evangelists making tons of money doing a lot of uplifting, but not promoting Christ and Him crucified. When asked about why don't you promote Christ and Him crucified, again, the whole concept is no one wants to be reminded of their sins. No one wants to hear that bad news. We all want to hear the good news. And so the title of today's message is, what message do you want to hear? I will admit, they have a point, those who like to preach to the people. If you preach to the people what the people want to hear, you're going to attract more people and you're going to make more money. Isn't that the point? And besides, if you don't want to hear a message, do we not turn off our ears? Being of the gender of the male classification, sometimes us males are accused of having selective hearing. We only hear what we want to hear. I venture to say that's actually true of all of humanity and not just with the male gene pool. We want to hear what we want to hear. But now the real question is, do you want to hear what God's word wants to tell you? Again, our answer would probably be, well, only if it fits in with my idea of what God should tell me. You can start seeing the tension here. The tension within our human nature that basically says, I want to do what I want to do, and so God, tell me it's okay for me to do what I want to do, versus, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we say those words in the Lord's Prayer, do we really mean it? Do we really want to do God's will? Or do we want to do God's will only as long as it coincides with my will? That's the real challenge to it. I guess it's also the challenge of the faithful pastor trying to communicate God's word in a way that can be appealing, not too offensive, but yet still be faithful to God's word. It almost sounds like it can't be done. I will admit, as I count how many people are here tonight, I sometimes wonder, maybe I should just preach jokes and good times, fill the pews. But then I wouldn't be faithful to my calling. So getting back to our text, why would the people of Israel want to hear this message? Well, to be plain and simple, let's just get to the bottom line truth. The prophets at this time were not saying good messages. They were basically saying, repent, turn from your sin, God is going to wipe you out. Well, where's my motivation to come and hear the message? Why would God want his prophets to preach such a message? That God is going to wipe you out? Plain and simple, because of the people's disobedience. They were turning away from God. And so, yes, God was going to allow the Babylonian captivity to come. God was going to allow for the destruction of Jerusalem to occur. And by the way, this is exactly where the area that Isaiah was working in. The people's hearts had turned away from God. The prophets were not going to turn away from God's message. Isaiah was sent to preach and proclaim what Christ wanted proclaimed, not what the people wanted to hear. And so he challenges the people. You really want to tell the seers, go ahead and don't see, and the prophets, don't prophesy. Leave the way of the truth. Turn away from the path. And then notice that last phrase, let us hear no more of the Holy One of Israel. Let's unpack that Holy One of Israel. Why wouldn't the people of Israel want to hear about the Holy One of Israel? Well, it's because of the word holy. Holy puts in the back of your mind, and should, that of holiness, perfection, sinlessness. Well, we don't want to hear about the perfect God, because then it's going to remind me of something I don't want to hear about, my imperfection. And it's going to remind me why I need the Holy One of God to hide my imperfection. We would say, oh, this is good news. This is all wonderful news, how the Holy One of Israel is going to give us his holiness to hide our imperfection. This is fantastic news if you are a sinner. If you're not a sinner, or if you don't want to see your sin, to be more technically correct, you don't want to hear about the Holy One of Israel. You want to hear about good things. So as we end the year 2007, what predictions have you heard for 2008? Good predictions or bad predictions? There's issues still with conflicts and wars. There's issues with an unstable economy. There's a lot of unrest and uncertainty. Does this give us hope? Well, right now you might be feeling a little down and out, so let me give you that hope. You see, if your hope is in the things of this world, then I don't have a very good message for you. But if your hope is in the Holy One of Israel, who gives of his holiness for you, then you have hope. Do you put your faith and trust in the things of this world? Then you might look at 2008 and might be a little disappointed. You might look at the end of 2007 and also be disappointed. But if you put your hope and faith in the Holy One of Israel and understand who it is that gives you His holiness, that is where our hope comes from. Today we celebrate the eve of the circumcision and naming of Jesus, reminding ourselves that on the eighth day the Israelite male would be named and circumcised, a sign of the covenant that God has made with His people. And the naming was very, very important. Unlike in today's world where names sometimes just are given just because they sound good, not so in the Old Testament times. Names were given for meaning and purpose. So what was the name of Jesus? That He would save His people from their sins. Here comes that sin word again. Do you need Jesus and what His name implies? Do you need that forgiveness of sins? Well, if that is where your hope is, then the answer is yes. And then that is the message you would want to hear. But if you don't realize our sinfulness, your own sinfulness, and realize your own need for a Savior, you might say that, Pastor, why are you always so depressing? Why are you always talking about sin and a need for a Savior? Why celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper at every single worship service? Why do we need this forgiveness of sins? And plain and simple, our hope isn't in the things of this world. It is of the things of God. So what is today? The end of another year? Yes, but also the eve of the circumcision and name of Jesus. The angel noted that He would be named Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. However, is that the message you wanted to hear? The message that Isaiah was preaching to the people of Israel at the time of our text was very law-orientated. Why? The law has a purpose. It serves the gospel. It reminds us of our sin and reminds us the need of why we need a Savior. So when we take a look at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do we shudder? I actually know of some Christians who do. Some Christians would say, wait a minute, on the cross of Jesus, you Lutherans have what's called a corpus, the body of Jesus. They would rather see an empty cross. Except for when you see the body of Jesus hanging there on the cross, do you shudder? Do you sit there and say, ooh, that's too Roman Catholic? Or do you sit there and say, there is my Savior. There is my Savior doing what my Savior is supposed to do, die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. The words of the cross. Some people don't want the words of the cross, seeing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They would rather have the cross be empty and just focus upon the good things of the resurrection. Well, I will admit, the joy of Easter, the next major festival that we will be celebrating soon enough, is a very joyous message, only because Good Friday occurs first. But I need to go back to the manger for right now. We are still in the Christmas season. Remember the 12 days of Christmas. And during this Christmas season, we have to remember why Jesus was named Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. And so in that manger, is it appropriate for us to sort of look in that manger, see that baby Jesus, but then more importantly, see the death of that baby Jesus? Again, not politically correct, but theologically correct, yes. In that manger, we see our Savior. In that manger, we realize that we are sinners, that God didn't have to take on flesh and blood, but He chose to take on flesh and blood to redeem me, to give us His holiness, so that we would not be lost forever in the depths of eternal life, but be with God in heaven above. This is the good news that the church preaches and proclaims. If you're looking for a different message, let me be honest. The chairman of our board of lay ministries is sitting in the back. Tell him to look for a different pastor. Tongue in cheek, please. I have no other message to proclaim, as you have faithfully heard over the many years, except for the message of Jesus and what His name means. He will save his people, like you and like me, from our sins. So this day the church celebrates and rejoices. Yes, a new year is beginning, the year 2008, just a few hours away. But more importantly, God fulfilling the law, naming his son Jesus, and fulfilling that name. He did save his people from their sins. This is the message that the church needs to come and rally and support. This is the message we need to hear, not just once or twice a year, but every day of our lives. This is the message of true hope and salvation. Not that the economy is going to change and that there will be peace throughout the earth, but there will be eternal peace given because the name of Jesus was given to a little baby, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and mine. Was that the message you wanted to hear today? I hope and pray it was. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.